All right, man. Anybody see Spider-Man over the last weeks, months? Yeah, a handful of you. Awesome. Well, hey, welcome to Crosspoint. I love this series. I just love this idea of looking at some of the big summer themes. That's why we do this every summer. The blockbuster films are hitting the big screens. And, you know, as we say every week, we're not necessarily endorsing these movies, but we're realizing that, you know, all of these things that connect with us on the big screen, a lot of these things have major threads that tie to faith, or things that the Bible has a lot to say about, including the Spider-Man movie. So it's great to have you here this morning. My name's Kurt, by the way, if we haven't had a chance to meet. And we are looking at this movie, Spider-Man Homecoming, today. And if you're not familiar with the Spider-Man kind of franchise, this is kind of a reboot of the whole Spider-Man story. And Peter Parker is wanting to be an Avenger. He's the character that, you know, turns into Spider-Man. And so basically, with the help of his mentor, Stark, who we saw, Tony Stark there, who's also Iron Man, he's basically trying to balance being a normal, kind of ordinary high school kid in New York City, along with, you know, these superpower, you know, superhero alter ego, you know, thing that he has going on, which we know as Spider-Man. And as we saw in that trailer, you know, Spider-Man wants to be more than like the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He wants to be about bigger missions and doing, you know, cosmic things. And what he continues to discover is that he's not ready. He's still in development. There's certain things that have to take place before he's going to be ready to kind of operate at that level. And you know, as I was watching this film this week, it just kind of, you know, raised a question in my mind that I've been thinking a lot about lately, which is this whole idea of tests. You know, that there are tests that we go through. There are things that we go through that actually qualify us for next things. And so we're going to look at this today. And just by the way, if you've been following along in this thing, that this insert, this flyer we put in your weekly every week, it says today we're looking at labels, and which we're not going to be doing. It's fascinating. Every year when we plan these films, we kind of set the theme of what we think they're going to be about months before they're released. And then I go see it, and I'm like, oh my word, that's not what it's about at all. And so we're going to look at identity today, but just in a deeper sense. In fact, especially for those of us who are leaders today, and really that's all of us, we're all leaders in one way or another, we're going to look at how there are certain things that qualify us, certain things we have to go through that qualify us for the next things, for new things, for bigger things, certain tests, if you will. And so this is true whether you're Spider-Man or whether you're a student, you know, in the classroom, or whether you're, you know, new in your job, or you've taken on a new position, or, you know, you're in a relationship or new to marriage, or you've been in marriage for a while. There are certain qualifiers or certain things that we have to grow in order to get to new places. A number of years ago, I went to a thing called the Leadership Summit, which some of us are going to this upcoming week, and I don't know, 12, 15 years ago up in Chicago, and I heard from a pastor that I really admire, Bill Hybels, and he talked about these five tests that I want to look at today. And so I want to kind of talk about these five tests, specifically five tests that we have to go through, and we see this in the life of Spider-Man, and we also see this in the life of someone in the Bible, a guy by the name of Peter. And so ironically, these are tests that I've kind of been processing through and really kind of been experiencing myself as well over these last number of months, even year and a half. And I think it'll really help us kind of bring some levity to how to get to new places today. So Luke chapter 5, this is where we find the story of Peter. And if you have the Crosspoint app, you can open it up and go to this week, and you can see the verse for this week. It'll take you right to this verse. You can follow along on the screens. And here in Luke 5, Jesus is growing in popularity. And so oftentimes when he'd go out to speak, he would have to get in a boat and kind of push out from the shore a bit. All right, he'd have to push out, I don't know, you know, 5, 6, 8 feet from the shore. He wouldn't go out far, or people couldn't hear him. And why, you know, 10 feet? Well, because most people were, I don't know, 5'10 at the time, 5'11, and they would constantly be pressing on him when he would, wherever he was. It's like, have you ever been around somebody who just has no sense of personal space? It was that way all the time for him, people pressing on him. And so he'd push out into the water a bit. It, because, you know, if somebody was going to keep pressing on him as they went into the water, they'd, like, drown, right? So he got just far enough out that he could get a little gap between them. And on this occasion, he actually uses the boat that he's in to kind of test the growth of one of his friends, one of his followers, one of his disciples, a guy by the name of Simon Peter. And so let's take a look at what's going on here in Luke 5. It says this. It says, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Now this is the first test right here. We were talking about five tests today. This is kind of a qualifier, if you will. And this is something every single one of us have to go through at some point in our life. All right, this is where Jesus is trying to get a read from Peter and see if Peter really has the stuff of what it takes to really have a vital growing relationship with God. All right, so this first test is known as the bias to action test. The bias to action test. And this is one of the ways, it's one of the tests that we go through, you know, to see if we're really growing, if we've really got God involved in our life, you know, and whether we have this intense desire. One of the ways we figure it out is if we have this intense desire to kind of be in the middle of the action, to be in the middle of whatever's going on, as opposed to kind of, you know, like sitting back and just saying, okay, I'm going to see what happens here. I mean, Peter, he easily could have been like, oh gosh, there's this crowd of people pushing against Jesus. Jesus is trying to tell them something. Let me just sit back for a bit and see what happens here. But instead, when Jesus gets in this boat, you know, he gets on the boat and he says, Peter, let's push out. And Peter jumps to action. He gets in the middle of this and he pushes the boat away from the shore. I was sitting on a balcony at our hotel a few weeks ago when we were at the beach, and this was kind of my view right here. I was sitting out just reflecting one morning, and I saw these sailboats out there, these boats that are, they look like the little triangles out there. I think it was a class. And it was fascinating because if we zoom in a little bit, you'll see that there's kind of the clump of sailboats, and then there's the one on the right, which I think was the instructor because they were all kind of following him. And then I was particularly intrigued by these two on the back, on the left, because everybody was going in the same direction, kind of the same speed. And then these two in the back, that would have been me if I was out there. They're like going, you know, all different directions, different speeds, you know, seemed to kind of be stumbling a little bit, kind of figuring out how to keep up with the team, the class. And I thought, you know, this is interesting because all of those boats have access to the same wind right there. And what's fascinating is, you know, the only difference of the group that's kind of going the way everybody else is going and the other two that couldn't figure it out is, you know, they couldn't figure out how to harness the wind. I mean, whoever's driving that boat, you know, they couldn't figure out how to access what was available to them right there. And some of us, you know, we get to places in life like, man, why is my life not going anywhere? Why am I stuck? Why have I been stuck here, you know, for a long time? Everybody around me seems to be going someplace, you know. And we have to ask ourselves the question, do I have a bias to action? I mean, am I doing anything? Am I adjusting my life, you know, so that my life can actually go in a different direction? All right, this is the bias to action test. All right, what do I need to do if I'm stuck? What do I need to do to begin to move in a different way? Another test that Peter gets, he has to go through, that Jesus puts him through, is what we refer to as the obedience test. The obedience test. So, you know, once they're out there on the water, all right, you know, Peter's in the boat, Jesus in the boat, and Jesus is like, hey, Peter, you know, we're done. Now that we're out on the water, why don't we go fishing? Let's go fishing, right? And Peter's a fisherman. He kind of looks at Jesus. He's probably thinking, Jesus, listen, you're like a carpenter. You're not a fisherman. And now you're doing like the whole spiritual guru thing. And he kind of says to him, he's like, hey, let me give you a little advice, Jesus. You know, I'm the fisherman. You're not. All right. I mean, you know, you used to be a carpenter. Now you're doing this other gig. But listen, every fisherman knows you don't go out in the middle of the day. I mean, it's the middle of the day. We've been up all night, by the way. We haven't caught any thing, and you want to go out now in the heat of the day? Hello, McJesus, come on. He's like, seriously, you don't get fishing. And in fact, here's how Peter puts it in his own words. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But, and then this is the phrase I want us to pay attention to. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. I tell you what, these words of Peter really fire me up right here. He says, but because you say so, this is the BBYSSIW test, all right? That's what this is. Some of you used to wear like that little what would Jesus do bracelet thing, you know, or you wear, you know. I don't think Jesus would have been wearing one of those, all right? I mean, but if he had a bracelet on, it probably would have been BBYSSIW. But because you say so, all right, because you say so, Jesus, I will do this. This is the obedience test right here. And it's fascinating because, you know, so many times we fail this test. You know why we fail this test? Because if I don't want to do something, even though God wants me to do it, or I know it's what God would want, guess what? I don't do it. because I don't want to. Or maybe God says, hey, this is something I really want you to do, but I'm like, man, screw that. I'm not doing that, God. I don't do it because I want to do what I want to do. And right here, Peter doesn't want to do something, but he's like, but because you say so, Jesus, I will. And one of the places this hits us, you know, really kind of hard is in our money. And you know why it hits us hard in our money? It's because money, you know, for Americans, money is like our internal DNA, right? I mean, money is like our comfort source. Money's like our life source. It's like the benchmark that we compare ourselves to others with. And it's kind of like this primary driver in our lives. And I tell you what, if you can come to the place where you begin to take, you know, God's view and approach to money versus your approach to money, I tell you what, the DNA structure of your life will totally change. And I know this is something I continually go through. I mean, I'm constantly kind of faced with this test in my life when it comes to money and things. In fact, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago when we got our van, we needed to replace our van. And you know, there's a lot of options when you buy a new car, right? And so we were wanting to do the right thing and really kind of saying, okay, God, what's the right vehicle for us? And what do we need? And, you know, what's a good investment? And you know, I wish there was like a Bible verse called like 2 Options 2:4, something like that, that just told you what to do. You know what I'm talking about when you're making decisions? There's not. And so, you know, we ended up buying a new van, not new, but new to us. New to us is like 5 years old, all right? We like let the major depreciation happen and then we buy the vehicle. And so, you know, we bought this 5-year-old van and we got it home and it was parked in the garage. And I don't know, a week later, 2 weeks later, I remember walking out and the kids' bikes were right, they kind of get parked next to the van. And I remember walking by and seeing these like new scratches on the door. And I thought, oh my, who did this? It looks like somebody just scratched all up. And I'm like, kids, what are you, who did this? And I'm like calling them all in. They're all playing in the front yard. And I'm like, who, seriously, can we not like have something for like a month before it looks like it's like 10 years old? I mean, it's all scratched up. And my son, I think, jumps in to, you know, kind of defend, you know, his sisters. He's like, well, I mean, the bikes. And in the midst of this is taking place all on the driveway, by the way. You know, the neighbors are out hearing this. And all of a sudden, our I think she was 5 or 6 at the time, our third child, Maggie, she kind of piped up and she said, well, Dad, you know, if the van means that much to you, why didn't we just keep the old one? And I'm like, you shut up and just sit down right over here. You know, like any good dad would do, right? That's what dads do. And so, you know, we kind of all piped down and all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, this is what stuff does. You know, it's like this ongoing test of does my stuff, you know, own me? I mean, or do I own it? You know, and all the time I put into it and protecting it, ensuring it, making sure it doesn't get messed up. And the question I always have to ask is, you know, will I obey? God, am I going to obey and put the stuff that I have in the right place? You know, Peter decides, but because you say so, Jesus, I will. And, you know, he doesn't want to. He's like, I don't think it's going to do any good, but I'll push the boats out. You know, I really don't know what's going to happen, but because you say so, we're going to do it. And then take a look at what happens here in verse 6. It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. This is so cool. See, I think they were just amazed right here because I don't think maybe Peter had never done anything that he didn't think was going to go the way he wanted it to go, even though God was asking him to do it. Probably many of us can relate to that. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, my word. I just did, Jesus, what you asked me to do. And it says, so his nets begin to break, his boat's overflowing. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I mean, I love this picture of Peter right here. All right, Peter thinks nothing's going to happen, and all of a sudden, because he does what God says, it's like it opens up a gateway to something new that he's never experienced, and there's so many fish coming into the boat, he can't manage it. I mean, this is so rich right here because this is how God works. This is how God always works in our lives. And see, these tests that come, you either pass or you fail, right? And generally, when you pass them, like, good things happen, right? I mean, good things happen. Blessings come your way, generally, and you go to a new place where it opens up new opportunities. And when you don't pass them, when you fail them, sometimes bad things happen. Bad things don't always happen. I mean, sometimes, you know what happens sometimes when we fail the test? We just stay right where we are. We don't go anywhere new because we're still stuck in that test right there. And can I just tell you why that may be? It's because we're failing the test every single time. It's like God gives us the test. It's like it's sitting on our desk, and the blessings don't come because we've not done the internal hard work of you know, doing the thing God's trying to develop in us that'll get us to the next place. See, here's what tests are. Tests kind of mark the end of the previous course that you just went through. And you can't get to the new thing until you pass the current course. And listen, I hated tests in school. You probably hated tests in school, right? We all probably didn't enjoy tests, but what did tests do? They required us to put the work in ahead of time so that we were prepared for what was coming our way. And see, here's the thing. I want to back up and kind of set some context in this. God's not really just interested in, you know, bringing more and more fish into our life. All right, God's not, his ultimate interest isn't just that, you know, we feel good and things go well. You know, God's not even interested in things working out the exact way we want. You know what God's ultimately interested in? He's ultimately interested in changing us. He's ultimately interested in transforming us. He's ultimately interested in shaping us and ultimately giving us a soft and pliable heart before him to where we fulfill everything that he created us to be. That's what he's ultimately interested in. And for Peter Parker, you know, in Spider-Man, it was fascinating. He wanted to do more before he was ready. He wanted a bigger platform. He wanted a bigger mission. He wanted to be on you know, bigger battles. And in fact, you know, he wanted to be more, as we saw in the trailer, than the small town neighborhood Spider-Man. And Tony Stark, Iron Man, he says, hey, you're not ready. He says, what do I need to do? Be ready. What do I need to do? And he said, stay close to the ground. Stay close to the ground and close to your neighborhood. Because he hadn't passed that test yet. He hadn't developed to the place where he was ready for the next level. Let me give us a few examples. You know, and all of these probably aren't on the table for all of us. Maybe some of us, you know, as we walk in here today, you've been bittering, you know, harboring some bitterness or some envy in your life. And maybe it's about a job thing that didn't go the way you wanted it to go. Or maybe there's something in your marriage that you know you need to get over, but you've just not been able to let it go. Or even your former marriage. Or, you know, maybe there's an action you need to take, but you're still right where you are because you've not passed that test. You've not done what you internally just know that you need to do. And so you're no more intimate with God right now than you were 3 years ago because you've not progressed in the test. Right? Because the test is still on the desk. Right? We haven't passed it. You know, maybe for some of us, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know, the Bible's really clear about how, you know, this thing about the first 10%, you know, as a kind of a minimum of what you make, you give back to God. And I talk to people, you know, about this at times, and they're like, oh, well, I don't believe that. And, you know, I don't like that. I'm like, well, I didn't like it either, you know, but it was kind of like a because you say so, Jesus. Or sometimes people say, well, I mean, I don't know that that's really what the Bible means. Or, you know, I have a lot of questions. And it's one of those things that, you know, I used to get really angry and kind of frustrated when I'd have these conversations with people, but anymore I don't. I just kind of step back and I get sad. I get sad when somebody's not ready to do this that's a follower, because I'm like, man, I'm looking at you and I'm seeing somebody who's not growing. You're not growing. You know, for others of us, maybe it's a body issue, all right? Maybe, you know, on one side, you know, you're not in good physical condition. And we think, you know, we kind of write it off like, well, it's just part of my personality, or it's kind of just the way I was created. I have a quirky makeup, and, you know, but maybe, you know, it's been a test. And God says, hey, I created you. Your body's a temple. I want you to take care of it. And honestly, this has been one of my struggles over the years. I mean, I had all the excuses. I'm like, well, I got bum knees. I can't run anymore. But I ate like I worked out 2 times a day. You know what I'm talking about? Like I ate like I was like, you know, like killer workout routine. And yet, man, I was gaining weight. And Julie and I, we just realized we've got to get a handle on this. And so, you know, last year we did that. I mean, we said, we've got to get healthy. We're not honoring God with our body. And so we went through a process of basically retuning our bodies to operate the way God designed them to work, to, you know, jumpstart fat burning and do these things that get us back to where we need to be. Lost, you know, 40 pounds, almost 50 pounds, and feel great through it. But it happened because we had a bias to action. Or maybe on the other extreme, maybe some of us, like, our body is everything to us. And we're like wanting everybody to, we're like body beautiful, right? And you know, like your self-esteem is in your body. Right? See, these are all tests of how we're going to treat our body or not treat our body. And until we pass the tests, we don't grow. See, for some of us, you might be thinking, well, gosh, Kurt, I've been a Christ follower for 20 years. You know, I'm in the same place. Well, maybe you've been a Christ follower for a year 20 times because you've never passed kind of the first year test. Right? Maybe there's some things God wanted you to do and you just thought you were immune to having to go through them. Maybe baptism's one. We talked about baptism. We got baptism 4 weeks from today. You know, maybe you've received Jesus at some point in your life, and Jesus says, "Well, believe and be baptized." And you're like, "Man, I'm all about the belief part. And God, thank you for giving me your grace and forgiving me of my sins. But I think I'm going to pass on the very first thing you asked me to do." I mean, maybe, you know, baptism is a powerful thing when you publicly say, "Jesus, I'm with you and you're with me." Maybe that's your next step today. Is to say, "Hey, 4 weeks from today, I'm getting baptized." It's a gateway. It's a test that opens up new things for me. Yeah, I don't know what it is for you. But one of the things we begin to see that is when we get clear on the obedience thing, then we step into the classroom of where the self-awareness test is. Next phase is self-awareness. See, Peter sees all these fish and coming into the boat, and I love his response. Look at what he says right here in verse 8. He says, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I love this right here. You know why I love this? Because you know what most fishermen would have done? Most fishermen, if they had that many fish, you know what they'd be doing? They'd be pulling out their phone. They'd be like, "Sophie, look at what I did." They're like, "I caught all these. Look at this." You know, they'd be posting on social media. "Hey, look at me." And maybe that's not you. Maybe you're like, "Nah, I wouldn't do that." But maybe for you, maybe you're really good financially. And you just kind of quietly turned, you know, your money really good this year. And you're constantly talking about how good you are with your money. And, you know, because you think you did that, not that God did that. So either way, we're unself-aware, right? Either way, we're not really knowing ourselves, but not Peter. Peter, these fish come in and he's like, "Oh my word, Jesus, listen, I'm not worthy of this. I mean, I've got a lot of problems. I don't have it all together. I don't know how this happened, but Jesus, you just did something right here." See, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's a DNA structure in our world that's very much at work. And this DNA structure wants you to kind of never give up a moment to take credit for something. You know, never admit weakness, never admit you're wrong, always look for opportunities to blame other people. And so when we actually don't do those things, we become very self-aware. It's called the self-awareness test. You know, do I see myself for who I really am? Or do I just try to project who I want to be or who I hope to be? You know, who am I projecting? Am I really aware of who I am? See, most people aren't really aware of who they are. And this is why I kind of have a love-hate relationship with social media. And man, I love it because you can do so much through social media. But I struggle because, you know, so many times it's like social media is all about, "Hey, look at me. And we get all these props and we have everybody, you know, and we almost project this life of, you know, I'm on this vacation or eating this meal or look what I cooked. And here's the thing. If you struggle with maybe social awareness test is where you're stuck right now. Maybe for the next week or month, say, go through with your social media and don't post anything about yourself for a month. Like post about other people, celebrate other things, but don't use that to kind of give the highlight reel of your life. I mean, with my kids, we do this when we go on vacation. You know, we tell our kids, no social media. I don't want you putting where you are. I don't want your friends to see what you're vacationing. Because you know what it's like when you're at home and you're like, "Oh, my friends are at Disney World and I'm here and it sucks and I'm home and my friends aren't home." You know, you don't want to create that for your friends, so you're not posting anything. See, self-awareness is huge. Am I really in tune with who I am, or am I just trying to project this picture of what my life looks like? Am I really giving God the credit for what takes place? Or am I just saying, "Hey, look where I am, look what I'm doing"? Verse 9. It says, "For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.'" Love this verse right here. See, this is how Jesus works. This is how God always works right here. It's like we get through certain tests and we think, "Man, I'm good. I've passed these tests and now I can, everything's fine. I can kind of sit back and be nice and cozy, you know, on my boat in the harbor. Everything's, you know, calm." And what does Jesus do? You pass the bias to action test, the pass the obedience test, you pass the self-awareness test, and he's like, "All right, it's time to go to an entirely different place now. Now you're going to go after people." This is what Jesus does right here. He says to Peter, he says, Peter, the fishing thing, I mean, you can keep going after bluegill if you want to, ahi, kingfish, whatever it is you're going after out here. But from now on, I'm going to make you an offer to go after men, to go after women, to go after people, to go after the created beings that are closest to my heart. So you can leave this fishing thing behind if you want to, or you can choose to go after people. You know what this is called? This is called the grander vision test. The grander vision test. And this is what God does to our life right here. It's like he comes at certain points. He's like, all right, are you happy with where you are? All right, well, guess what? I've got something more for you. And of course, we're like, all right, I like more. I like bigger. I like better. This is what Spider-Man wants, right? And Spider-Man Homecoming. And then we find out the whole story, and we begin to think, oh, my word, I'm not sure I want bigger and better. Because here's the thing. See, grander vision always requires grander prices. All right, grander vision always has a bigger price tag. The next thing, the bigger thing, the better thing, it always has a greater sacrifice connected to it. And this is how it works in the spiritual realm as well. This is why it's called a test. It's called the grander vision test. This is a test I've been wrestling through for like the better part of the last year and a half, 2 years. In fact, a little over a year ago, we did this thing here called the Game Change Campaign, which many of you are a part of. It was a 3-year kind of a financial initiative for us to continue to address the growth that we had had and then also begin to prepare to kind of change the way we do ministry and even broaden our impact in the community. And hundreds of us committed hundreds of thousands of dollars on top of what we're already giving, upwards of almost $900,000 over 3 years. And we just wanted to build into continuing to create new ways for God to reach people and connect with people. And I tell you what, when we started that thing, really on the planning end about 2 years ago, you know, I wanted to have more impact. I wanted, you know, God was kind of, you know, championing, hey, I got so much more in store. And yet I didn't fully want to accept this. Partly because I hate raising money. Partly it's because, you know, whenever you're going into kind of capital fundraising initiatives, it means a lot of stress. And it was kind of nice just being cozy and doing what we were doing. And those things always come at a cost. But there came a point where I just had to say, God, we do believe you want to continue to do new things, not just what we're currently doing. And I want my life to be a part of that. And so, God, if that's what it requires and if that's what it costs, then I'm in. And this is what God always does in our lives. And this is how he grows us in maturity. And see, ultimately, it's not really, even those initiatives aren't about really our stuff or our money. It's about God accomplishing his purposes in us and through us. And our hearts being molded and formed and changed. And God puts us in these classrooms to grow us. And then the last test. The last test is the will you leave it behind test. So he says to these guys, all right, you guys want to be fishers of men? You guys really want to go after something bigger than just fish? You want to start going after people? He's like, here's the deal. You're going to have to leave behind everything you've trained on, everything you've spent your entire life preparing for. In fact, take a look at verse 11. It says, so they pulled their boats up on the shore, and they left everything, and followed him. Tell you what, you want to know why we still talk about these guys 2,000 years later? It's because they passed the test, right? Every test that comes to Peter, he's like, all right, he may not have liked it, but he passed the test. Jesus is like, will you leave it behind? And he says, they leave everything. I mean, God always brings me to these places where I have to say, okay, am I willing to go beyond what I've known? Am I willing to go beyond what I've done? You know, am I willing to go beyond, you know, just the things that I've experienced in my life? Am I willing to leave behind and go to new places that I've never chartered before? I mean, this is you know what's crazy about this? I mean, you'd think it'd get easier, right? You'd think every time there's something bigger that God wants you to do, it'd be easier. The stakes just keep getting higher, though. They don't get easier. See, the more you progress through this, I was thinking back, you know, as I've been, you know, we've been processing as a team, you know, about starting a third service here in a few months. And then, you know, as we're looking at beginning to multi-site over the next couple years and take Crosspoint to different communities, I thought, man, you know, when we started Crosspoint, it wasn't this hard. And part of that is because the stakes were low, right? I mean, when we launched Crosspoint a little over 10 years ago, you know, we had a handful of people in our launch team, and there was one paid staff member, me. We didn't have a building. We, you know, it was kind of like, man, we're going to make a go of this, but what's the worst thing that happens if it doesn't go? A whole bunch of people are disappointed in me. A whole bunch of people are disappointed it didn't go, and then I go find another job, right? But today, every time we take major steps, it's like, man, we're sitting on a multi-million dollar facility and campus here. You know, we've got almost a dozen part and full-time staff members. You know, things seem to be going really, really well. And as one of my friends said recently to me when I was talking about this, he said, Kurt, you would be crazy to keep adding stuff like this. He's like, man, you guys could make a decision and everything could be crumbling down just like that. I'm like, I know, I feel the weight of that. He said, but you'd be stupid to not push forward. Because see, so many times we rest on what we know or what we've done, or here's what my skill set is and here's what I know it takes to do this. But God, he's like, are you willing to leave that behind because I want to take you to someplace new? And this is how God grows us. This is how God spiritually forms us. I mean, it doesn't happen in one fell swoop. That's what Peter Parker wanted. He just wanted all the powers and all the abilities to be, you know, this cosmic global Spider-Man, you know, hero. But it happens gradually as we pass the tests. And see, God cares. This is what actually forms our relationship with God. Or, you know, if you're still processing what it means to know God, this is what forms the relationship you will have with him one day. And my hope, my prayer, is that as you've been thinking through this today, that you see that the key to getting to the next place, whatever that means for you, is that exact piece of paper that's on the desk in front of you right now. And the question is, are you going to pass it? Because that's the key to growing in intimacy with God. So I want us to think about what this means for us as we wrap up. Why don't you go ahead and take out your connection cards. And on the back are some next steps that I want to kind of walk us through. And you know, in the trailer that we saw a few moments ago, even if you haven't seen the movie, there's this great moment between Peter Parker and Tony Stark. And it's this moment when Iron Man is very frustrated with Spider-Man. He's kind of blown it on some initiatives. And he looks at him and see, Spider-Man thinks the power is in his suit, in the suit that he puts on. And Tony Stark threatens to take his suit away. And Peter Parker says, well, I'm nothing without the suit. And then there was this great line from Iron Man. He says, if you're nothing without the suit, then you don't deserve it. And what he's really saying there is, man, if you think it's all about the external, if you think it's all about how I look or what I've done or, you know, what I can project that I want to be, he said, that's not it. It's what is being formed on the inside. And so, you know, one of our next steps today, the second one on here is, you know, I'll identify which test I'm currently on and that I need to move on, change or grow in order to pass the test. And I want us to think through that one today. I mean, because all of us are in one of these five stages right here. And so, you know, let's just process through these as a moment as we wrap up. You know, the bias to action test. I mean, do you need to grow in a bias to action? I mean, is there something you need to move on in your marriage, in your job, and you know, an addiction? Is maybe in your family life? I mean, maybe you just sit back and watch things play, and you need to be in the middle of the action. And God's like, hey, I'm looking for you to step up. What do you need to do this week? Maybe it's the obedience test. Is there something going on in a relationship that you know Jesus wouldn't want happening, but, you know, it's going on anyway, and you just need to say, you know, Jesus, because you say so, I'm going to make a change here. Or is it a sexual thing or a money thing or a serving thing or baptism? If you've never been baptized, I mean, baptism isn't like assure you of heaven. I mean, when you receive Jesus, you know, you've been welcomed into God's family. But, you know, baptism is kind of a gateway to new things. Maybe it's just saying, hey, I'm going to be baptized in a few weeks. Is it the self-awareness test? I mean, have there been things going on in your life where you're like, man, this is so powerful. I really can't explain it. But, you know, I'm posting it to social media and, oh, look at this and look at that, what I did or we did. I mean, is there something you just need to say, God, I'm going to give you the glory on this. I really don't get it, but this is not me. I'm not worthy of this, but God, for some reason, you allowed this to take place in my life. Experience this blessing. You know, where do you need to start giving God the credit? Is it a grander vision? You know, maybe God's calling you to something bigger. You know, to use your time, your resources, your life, your talents. You know, maybe it's beginning to work for something more than just what I can make a profit on, but how am I really touching people and changing the world? Is there something I need to leave behind? You know, leaving behind is hard because these are the things, this is really for the mature because we begin to realize there's certain anchors that we have in our life that just keep us where we are and until we're ready to just put our hands out and say, okay, God, I'm going to let that go. In fact, I would even say, you know, I would even venture to say there's probably some of us in this room who God's calling to, you know, leave behind the things we've trained our whole life for and begin to go after people just like you did with Peter. I don't know who you are. But I know that as we're in this process of expanding what we do here and expanding, you know, Crosspoint's reach, God raises people up who he says, I want you to now, you're going to be done with business. It's time to start going after people with me. And it starts, wherever we are in this process, it starts with our hands being out and just saying, okay, God, here's my heart. I want to do what you, because you say so. God, I want to do what you want for me. In fact, I would even ask us, if you're just processing through something right now and you want to just take that posture to put your hands out like this as I pray for us. Now, if you're listening online and driving, definitely don't do this, all right? But for those of us in the room, and, you know, maybe, you know, you don't even know what that looks like. You're like, I don't even know what it is God's wanting of me right now, and there's a lot of fear in me, there's a lot of insecurity, and but see, here's the thing. I don't want us to go through our entire life not fulfilling our potential because we got stuck on a test. I don't think any of us want to go through our whole life and say, man, there was somebody I could have had an impact on or somebody that could have seen God in my life, but I wasn't willing to get through that stage and get to a next place. So God, if that's where you are, just say, God, I want to be in this posture right now. And God, as I pray for us, as we're in this posture right now, God, I just pray that this sign of us having hands open in front of us would be an indicator of, God, we're opening up. We don't fully know what this means. Maybe we're really clear on what it means, but for many of us, we just want to, we just ask that you would use us, that you would help us to see what the next thing is we need to get through or grow in. As grand as it may be, as small as it may be, God, as insignificant as it may be, we don't want to miss out. We don't want to go through our whole life and miss out on you writing a major blockbuster story in our lives and through our lives. And so, God, I just pray that you'd make it clear what test is on our desk this week. God, help us to progress through it. Give us, you know, help us to know what to do with what we've heard this morning. And God, we want to be like all great heroes. As you work, as you move, God, we want to give you the credit. We're not going to take it ourselves. We're going to give it to you. Because it's certainly not us. And so, Jesus, thank you for caring enough to call us to bigger things. God, thank you for your wave of grace. Even those of us in this room who have heavy hearts this morning, God, I just pray that your grace would continue to come over us as we just say, God, here's our heart. Just speak truth to us. We pray.